It is so good to be with you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your worship this morning. As a way of introduction, my name is Mike, and I've been in ministry, more than 30 years in one form or another. In fact, my very first church that I worked full-time at was a congregational church in Pomona, California, and I was the youth pastor there and enjoyed serving at that church. And with me this morning is my wife, Marcia. This August we'll be celebrating our 33rd anniversary. And we have four children, the fourth of which just graduated last weekend at Sandusky High School. We live up in Sandusky now and have been up there for quite a number of years. We moved here from California. I actually grew up down in the southern part of the state in a little town called Morenci. And then moved out to California to go to college, and that's where I met Marcia. She's my California girl. You know, growing up in Michigan, you always listened to the Beach Boys and dreamed about those California girls. And so Marcia grew up in Long Beach, so she's my beach girl. And moved back here to be the chaplain at Teen Ranch. I don't know if some of you remember Teen Ranch up in Marlette area. It was a wonderful ministry. And so we've been here ever since. And again, thank you for having us here on this Memorial Day weekend. The scripture I wanted to share this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to begin with verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is though through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn could not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell and the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, and about the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies, women who received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, some even chains and imprisonment, and they were put to death by stoning. They saw They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them, and they wandered in the deserts and the mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, only together with us would they be made perfect. May God add his blessings to the reading of his scripture this morning. I chose this scripture because this is Memorial Day weekend. And we take time and we pause to remember those that have gone before us, those who have gone to battle for our country, to fight for our freedoms. But I also think it's an important time for us as Christians to remember those who went ahead of us in faith and the sacrifices they made and the things that they did to move us forward in faith. And so here in Hebrews, we have an accounting. And if you go back at the very beginning of the chapter, it recounts even more of the heroes of faith throughout this chapter. Those who didn't really know what was ahead. Those who never got the chance to hear the story of Christ and how he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again and went to prepare a place for us. They didn't have that hope. They didn't have that story to lean on about life and light and hope for the future. They only had their love of God to lead them and their faith that God would reward them. And so it's amazing when you read these stories how faith led them with little or no promise. And I love that final verse there that talks about how they never saw their reward here on earth, but they knew that God had something better for them. Over my lifetime, I've had several heroes of faith. I'm going to tell you about a couple of them this morning. One of them is a man I met, probably about 8-9 years ago. His name was Grant Yeager. Grant was in his late 80s, early 90s when I met him. And some of you may have heard of Yeager Auto Parts. Some of you may have been to the Dairy Queen in Sandusky. Those were all started by Grant. But before that, Grant was in World War II. He was at the Battle of the Bulge. And he loved to tell me war stories from that time. One of my favorite stories was that he wasn't even supposed to be able to be in the Army. You see, when he was a child, he and his brother were playing in the junkyard, which is now Yeager Auto Parts, but then it was just a big junkyard. And they were shooting their BB guns, and his brother shot Grant's eye out. You've all seen the Christmas story, right? You'll shoot your eye out. Well, he did. And so when he went for his physical, he was told that he was not able to be drafted because of only having one eye. Well, somewhere, some cleric made a mistake, and he ended up being drafted. And he went over in early December to join the war effort in Germany and ended up at the Battle of the Bulge. And he tells the story about being on the line. And the gentleman next to him had the big gun that was shooting at the Panzer tanks as the Germans were coming down the road and they were trying to knock the tracks off. And his friend next to him was killed. And so Grant said, I picked up that big gun, and with my one good eye, doing the best I could, I shot that gun, and I was able to knock the track off one of the tanks. Well, that's the good part of the story. The bad part of the story is that the next day, his unit was captured by the Nazis. He ended up spending the rest of the war in a German POW camp. And he told the story of how that next day was Christmas Eve after they'd been captured. And they were all lined up in this big train yard. And they stood in the snow all day long. Just standing in the cold, freezing. Finally, late at night, they were loaded on the train and taken to the POW camp. And he said, he always told the story, he said, I wasn't a man of faith, really, back then. I'd gone to Sunday school as a boy. But he said a couple of times, I found it really important to pray. That day on the line, when my buddy was killed and I had to pick up that gun, it was important for me to pray. And I asked God to help me. And that's when I was able to shoot that track off that tank. He said the next time I prayed, I was in the POW camp. And as a lowly private, they had even less rights. But according to the Geneva Convention and the rules of war, officers were able to get letters out to family and such. And so he was praying that he might find someone that could get a letter out to his mom to let her know that he was okay. And so he was walking through the mess area, and he heard someone talking about Michigan. And he stopped and he said, "Are you from Michigan?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." And I can't remember exactly what town, but I think it was Imlay City that this gentleman was from, and he was an officer. And so Grant was able to become friends with him and able to send letters home to his mom through this officer. And he always told how God heard his prayers, even though he wasn't a strong person of faith at that time. I had the honor of doing Grant's funeral when he was 97 years old a couple of years ago. And it was an honor. And just a few days before he passed, I was able to sit down with him. And I asked him about his relationship with God. And he said he was good. He and God were on the same page. That's how he put it. And so that was an honor. And he was a hero to me, not only because of his war efforts, but because of his faith. He came back. He was quite the community man. He, like I said, he started the Dairy Queen there to help employ kids in the high school. He and his brother turned the junkyard into Jaeger Auto Parts, which his son Gary still operates today in Sandusky. The other hero I want to tell you about is a lady. And this August, we'll be celebrating her 90th birthday. Her name's Helen. And Helen grew up in the Thumb, too. She grew up in the Elkton Pigeon area. And she felt the call of God on her life early on. And she wanted to go and to serve God. And she came down to the Detroit, I think it was called Detroit Bible College, when she was a young woman. But while she was there, she met a man named Bob. Bob was not a Christian. But they got married, and they started a family. And so she thought she had to put on hold her desire to go to the mission field and serve God. Well, it became that her family and Bob were her mission field. And down the road, so was I. We lived next door down in a little town called Medina. It's down near Hudson, Michigan, Morenci, Michigan, if you know the southern part of the state. And they moved in next door when I was in seventh grade. And their son, Dale, became my best friend. And he's still my best friend. And he actually lives in Marlette now. And I came from a very dysfunctional, broken home. My dad was a very abusive alcoholic. I have physical scars from times when he was drunk and out of control. And so Helen's home became my refuge, became the place that I knew I could go to whenever things got too rough at home. You know, but she never coddled me. If I was there, I had to pick up after myself. I had to help with dishes. I helped set the table, do all the things that she expected of her other children. And it was so neat this last week with my son's graduation. She sent him a card, and in there she wrote, "To my other grandson." Now Helen, 90 years old, you know what she does on Sunday mornings? She still picks up a load of kids and takes them to Sunday school. You know what she does during the week? She goes to the nursing homes and visits those that can't get out and reads scripture to them. 90 years old, and she's still out sharing her faith, living every day for her God and her Lord. And I just look at those stories and I see their lives. You know, we used to say in Youth for Christ, when I worked in Youth for Christ and then at Teen Ranch too, that sometimes you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. And I think that's really true, because Helen, living out her faith, showed me that there was more to life, that there was hope, that there was a reason to keep going when things were really rough at home. And so I look to these heroes, and on this Memorial Day, I like to stop and to just thank God for all those heroes. We have these heroes of faith here in Hebrews that showed us how out of nothing. I mean, can you imagine? Here is Abraham and Sarah, and you all know the story. They're childless. Sarah's in her 90s. Abraham's close to 100 or over 100. And God has promised them a son. And you know the story. They got impatient and different things happened. But still, God kept his promise. And Sarah had a son. And do you know why they named him Isaac? Because Isaac means laughter. When you're 90 years old and you have a child, what else are you going to do but laugh? Right? But here he is. God tells him, now, I've given you the son. I'm going to take it away so that you can show your faith. And he takes Isaac and he takes him up to the mountain. And along the way, Isaac's carrying the stuff for the altar and he's looking around and he's going, but, you know, Dad, I think we forgot something. We didn't bring anything to sacrifice. You didn't bring a goat or a calf. And the whole time, Abraham just keeps saying, God will provide. God will provide. And can you imagine the drama up there on that mountain? The altar is built out of rocks. They place the fire, the wood and for the fire around it. And he says, okay, Isaac, hop up there. Can you imagine Isaac? It's like, are you nuts? Dad, we're going to go and put you in the dementia ward right now. I'm not going to go through with this. But no, Isaac got up there, obeying his father. And can you imagine Abraham holding that knife, his hands trembling, praying with all of his might that he doesn't have to plunge it into his son's heart. He showed his faith. And what God do? All of a sudden, there was a rumble in the bushes. And there was an animal to be sacrificed, caught in the bushes. And they were able to put it on the altar. And Isaac's life was spared. And the story goes on from there. And it shows, not only in Hebrews here, about each hero's story, but how one hero led to another, and led to another. Isaac had Esau, and that led to Joseph. And right on down the line, we have this heritage. And that's our challenge. What is our heritage of faith? Years from now, what will we be remembered for in our faith? Will our children, will our grandchildren, will our great-grandchildren look back and say, I remember seeing my grandmother praying. Or I knew when I rebelled, my mom was praying for me to come back. I remember seeing my dad cry, heartbroken over something I did. I remember my dad being gracious and forgiving, even though he didn't have to be. Are those the stories of faith that will follow you as you move through life? Will you be creating that heritage, that line that will each generation after you? We remember the heroes. We remember the everyday heroes. There are a lot of gentlemen that went over there and gave their lives at different wars that weren't really heroes. They were just doing what they were told, willing to sacrifice. If you get a chance this weekend, a bunch of high school kids in Sandusky got together last fall, and they decided they wanted to do something for the community. And they noticed that the flags that were put out on the courthouse lawn each holiday, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, were looking pretty tattered. And there wasn't many of them. And so they decided they wanted to do something about that. And they went about and raised over $10,000. And if you go up there today, you will see over 200 new flags lining the courthouse lawn. And with each flag is a memorial plaque talking about a person who went from Sanilac County and sacrificed for our freedoms. And it's an incredible display. It brought me to tears when I saw it Friday night. But if you're out driving, just doing a nice leisurely drive, drive down 46 through Sandusky. Check out that courthouse. That's the legacy. That's the lineage that we have a chance to be a part of. To keep our faith going. To share so that each generation will see what God can do and the greatness of God. Let me share that last verse again. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Lots of times our motives aren't pure in the reason we do things. Lots of times we struggle with doing the right thing. And these people weren't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. We know that Sarah, his wife, wasn't perfect. They slept with, had Abraham sleep with a handmaiden, and Ishmael was born, and that's caused all kinds of problems throughout history. But yet, through their faith, by the way they live their lives, God moves. And they, although you don't get your rewards here on earth, they got them in heaven. Be a part of that lineage. Share your faith. Be a hero to someone for the future. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for all the heroes of the Bible. Those that are listed here in Hebrews. Those that have gone on before us. Those that have touched our individual lives. Those that are heroes and may not even know it. Lord, we thank you. May our faith be shared. May it be a part of our everyday. We ask this in your name. Amen.